Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithtimmery.com.
Hey, welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery. Before we get the episode started, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a heads up on the next time that you and I could actually maybe even meet in person and you can come and do some learn-ins in real life. So I've been partnering with Sexploratorium in South Philadelphia, which is also co-owned with Passionelle, and we've been doing workshops related to issues pertaining to sexuality, stuff that is just of interest to people that you might want to learn a little bit more about. Some of it is theoretical and some of it's more practical, how to apply things to your life. And due to the enormous response to the last workshop, we are doing again another non-monogamy workshop. So non-monogamy would encompass anything other than monogamy. So it's pretty big. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we'll be talking about everything from the history of it to current practice, how to navigate non-monogamy issues in a real relationship, whether that it be a poly situation, swinging, any sort of open relationship. This really applies to a lot of people. And even if it doesn't apply to your life, it's a fascinating, fun time because we just talk about sex the whole time and it's super interesting and we get to do some fun stuff. So you should definitely check it out. The next non-monogamy workshop will be Sunday, April 14th at Sexploratorium in South Philadelphia from 5 to 7. Totally rad time. So again, Sunday, April 14th. I hope to see you. You will be able to pre-buy tickets, and they're a little bit cheaper through Eventbrite. So it's a non-monogamy at eventbrite.com. You can also contact Sexploratorium in South Philadelphia and ask them for more information as well. And you can always hit me up, sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. You can tweet at timmery_LEIGH. And you can also contact me through the Sex with Timmery Facebook page. There's lots of ways to talk to me. And again, I hope to see you at the next workshop and have a good day. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am really excited to talk to our next guest. This is Katie Bicknell. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So I am super stoked to talk to you about this today. You are a fertility awareness sort of expert, and you have a blog, and you have an app, and you have lots of different things that will help women become more aware of their fertility and able to like gauge their sex life around what their goals are. What makes you so passionate about lady parts?
Oh my God, I mean, what's not to be passionate about, right? Like, lady parts are the source of all life.
True story.
So, I mean, at a really basic level, like, they're fascinating. I'm a woman also, so that makes me really interested in them. And also, there's just not good information out there about, like, what actually really goes on in a woman's cycle every month. And when I found out what the real deal was, I was like, oh my God, like, I had no idea that my body was actually sending me signs every single day about when I'm fertile and when I'm not. And like, I don't have to be on the pill. I don't have to get an IUD again. Like, I can just manage my fertility using signs my body's already sending me. And I think that's going to totally change the world.
So you mentioned that you had not had a lot of understanding about how your own body works. So like, where did you get, prior to your grand enlightenment, what sort of ideas had you picked up on? What sort of information had you learned about your body that gave you the wrong impression?
Well, that women are supposed to have a 28-day cycle and ovulate on day 14. That's true for some women, but not true for lots of women. And the reason why that was so interesting to me is because when I first got my period when I was 11, I started getting my period like maybe once or twice a year, and or maybe three times a year if I was lucky, until I was 18, at which point my doctors put me on the pill and they were like, okay, just take the birth control pill and this will regulate your cycle. And I was like, okay. And turns out that actually doesn't regulate your cycle. The birth control pill just kind of gives you a fake cycle by tricking your body into thinking you've already ovulated so you don't release another egg. And so this whole time I was thinking like, okay, like I've got something wrong with my hormones. but being on the pill will fix it. And then, so like when I'm ready to have kids, I can like, you know, stop taking the pill and then I'll be able to have kids because the pill will have fixed everything. And that's just not true. And I found that out when I was 26 and I was like, oh my God, like if I want to have kids and my cycle's been fucked up since I was 11 and what I'm doing to fix it isn't fixing it, I better stop taking these pills and figure out what the real deal is.
So really the doctors weren't, I mean, they were telling you that this was going to fix your problem. They were claiming that. That's fascinating. And it's, I mean, obviously a medical doctor would understand that that's actually not true. I'm really confused as to why they would couch it in those terms. Cause as you mentioned, like the hormonal contraceptives that we use do not actually, they don't fix anything. They just convince your body that you don't need to ovulate, that you don't need to release, you know, the follicular stimulating hormones and et cetera. And I think you put the nail on the head that a lot of people really don't understand on a very basic level how birth control pills work and what they're doing inside of you. There's a lot of misconception, I think.
Yeah. And every woman that I talk to about the pill, I'm like, oh, well, you know, the pill doesn't really regulate your cycle. And they're like, what do you mean? That's what my doctor told me. Like my periods were all wacky when I was a teenager. And so I went on the pill to fix them. Do you mean it's not fixing them? And I was like, no, not fixing them.
I mean, if you look at it from a purely like planning oriented standpoint, like I need to know when things are going to happen. I need to be able to coordinate my schedule, you know, like so that when I go on vacation, I don't have to bring tampons, that sort of thing. I mean, in that way, I guess it's fixing, but it's a totally artificial process. And the moment you go off of it, your body will have to figure itself out again. So
exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing that, I think is a really interesting just background story on the invention of hormonal birth control. And I'm sure you're familiar with this story, but just for the listeners who may not have heard it, the doctor who first invented the pill was Catholic. And he thought that by putting in that week of sugar pills, that would be more closely mimicking the natural cycle and it would make it more acceptable to Catholics. And it's like, nope, that didn't work. Which is just a random, interesting aside. So how did you come to find out how women's bodies work?
Okay, well, so like I said, I've been wacky cycles and went on the pill, then got off the pill. And I was like, what do I do, you know, to one, like fix my cycles? Because like every doctor I talked to was like, oh, well, I mean, really all we're going to do for you if you don't get your period regularly is put you back on the pill. And I was like, well, I don't want to be on the pill. And so then I got an IUD. Oh, then so I was like, one, how do I fix my cycles? Two, how do I prevent pregnancy? Like, because I'm a sexually active adult, you know? And around that time, I met the guy who's now my husband, and we were thinking like, oh, well, how do we, you know, because he was like, well, we had that talk that like all couples have of like how we're going to prevent pregnancy. Like, and he's like, you should go on the pill. And I was like, I'm not going back on the pill, and told him why. And I was like, you should just use condoms forever. And he's like, I'm not super into that. Like, you know, we're going to be together for a long time. We're both clean. Like, that's not really a great long-term solution for me. So I had read this book about a year before that called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. And my roommate had suggested it because I was telling her about like my wacky cycles and all that kind of thing. She's like, oh, well, my sister, her doctor told her she'd never be able to have kids. And then she read this book and now she figured out what was going on with her cycle. And then she went on to have like 3 kids. And I was like, oh my God, this seems like crazy witchcraft magic. Like, what is this? And then I read the book and I was like, oh, this is actually like super legit and based on science. And like, why does no one know about this? So I was charting just to keep track of my cycles and see if and when I ovulated. And the two fertility signs that I keep talking about, one is your basal body temperature, which is just your oral temperature when you wake up in the morning. That corresponds to progesterone level in your body. Progesterone is only produced in the second part of a woman's cycle after she ovulates. So in a woman who's cycling naturally, her temperature will go from like a lower kind of range to a higher range And when it goes to that higher range, then she can see, like, okay, I've ovulated. So the second sign is cervical fluid. And what that is just the regular, like, vaginal moisture and stuff that we see in our underpants at the end of every day that changes throughout the course of our cycle as women. And that can go from, like, a sticky or watery or creamy kind of substance to, like, stretchy and clear, like raw egg whites. And so it changes throughout the cycle, and I've never known what that was. And then when I read that in the book, I was like, oh my God, you mean it's like an actual thing that my body does for a reason? It's not some kind of like waste product or like weird craziness thing that makes me freak out. It's like, oh, it's like actually telling me the story of how much estrogen is in my body and if I'm about to ovulate soon. And when I realized that those two things were like measurable and happening in my body every day, and that if you chart those out, you can actually see if you're fertile or if you're not each day. And it's super effective and not only preventing pregnancy, but helping women get pregnant, and also like helping someone like me who has crazy cycles figure out what the heck is going on with my body.
So this is ultimately like a fertility awareness method that can be used both for somebody who's trying to avoid pregnancy or somebody who is trying to become pregnant.
Correct? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So one of the things that I just definitely wanted to bring up with you, because you seem to be coming from a very scientific place with this, but fertility awareness methods have become very popular among folks who choose it for religious reasons because they mm-hmm. don't want to use anything that they consider artificial because that is antithetical to their religious beliefs. And for many people, because fertility awareness is associated with religious ideas around sexuality, they've actually been afraid to use it. So it's really interesting to talk to somebody who's coming from a very different vantage where it's more about how your body's natural science should be tapped into rather than using external things. Do you want to speak about that at all?
Totally. Yes. Yeah, that, like, exactly. It's like, it's based on science, which is why, like, I trust it. And yeah, we have, you know, on our Twitter feed, we were tweeting about whatever we tweet about. And someone who thought that we were like a religious type of organization was like, what do you mean? Why are you promoting condoms? Like, what's your deal? And I was like, we're not against condoms. We're not against contraception. We're not against any of that. Like, what I'm all for is like helping women understand that there are these signs in their bodies, and that if we tap into those, then we can have super awesome lives.
It's interesting that somebody they found you assuming that you were like a religious group, and then they were very confused because they've got like a certain schema about it. But like, so who are you? Are you just aiming for anybody, like any woman at all, or is there a woman that you think is most benefited by this?
Well, I mean, I think all women could be benefited by it. And that being said, like, it's kind of a long shot to just say like, yes, it's for all women, you know, right now, because one, the level of knowledge about how our bodies work is generally really low. So for someone who's been taking the pill to just make that leap of faith, like, okay, this book seems legit. Like, let me like bank my entire life on this method. Like that's a long shot.
I mean, that is a pretty big investment. I mean, if you think about what the long-term consequences are, if you can't do it properly.
Exactly. So right now, like, I think who it's going to be really attractive to is women who are, you know, a little bit more savvy about how their bodies work, like pretty health conscious, kind of into the idea of not putting artificial chemicals into our bodies. You know, women who eat organic food or like are athletes or, you know, people who are more health conscious, I think is who this is going to appeal to right now. Because, you know, I think there's generally a trend in getting away from pesticides and chemicals and taking drugs you don't have to take. And also, like, it's just so fucking cool to like know how my body works, you know, and to like know every day, like what's going on and like when I'm ovulating and when I'm like, when I'm fertile and when I'm not, and like the differences in my cervical fluid. Like, it's super nerdy and cool. So I think women, women who are like into like the quantified self kind of movement, or like health, or, you know, like that kind of deal.
It seems like a really interesting experiment in being a human to have that level of interaction with your own body, because I think that it's kind of expected in our culture that we like separate from our natural animal biology element. And when you're discussing things like checking out your own cervical mucus and how uncomfortable I can imagine some people would immediately become by the idea of having to admit, even acknowledge that you have such a thing, and that such a thing is being created by your body, and that it's not just like that little, you know, shaved porn star pussy that tastes like, you know, perfume. Like, it's really fascinating that anybody would have to actually like acknowledge all of the reality of the human body. It's, yeah. I mean, what advice would you have for someone who felt very like, nah, I'm not touching down there. I'm not looking down there.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
That's a really great question. What I would say is, like, you know, just look at dudes. Like, guys have no trouble being all like, hey, look at my dick, like, this thing is awesome, you know what I mean? And so, like, for our vulvas and vaginas, it's like that's the same thing. And plus, like, vulvas are fucking beautiful. They look like orchids. You know, if you look at like a tropical flower and then you look at a vulva, it's like they look like the same fucking thing. So like they're beautiful. And also men, and just the word cervical mucus, I don't like, because I prefer to call it cervical fluid. And I'm actually on a quest to rename the whole thing, because men don't call their semen seminal mucus or like penile discharge.
True,
you know?
Story. Very
and cervical good fluid is the exact same thing. It's made of electrolytes and proteins and water and like all the same things that semen is made out of. And I mean, if you watch any porn at all, you can see how semen is like the star of the show. You know, it's like, wow, look at this awesome stuff. And cervical fluid is basically the same thing. It serves the same purpose, to help facilitate sperm to reach the egg and like nourish it along the way. So yeah, I'm on a quest to actually rename cervical mucus or cervical fluid, into something else, that sounds more fun and like enticing. Yeah, but that's a different story. What I would say is like, just realize that it's like totally normal and beautiful, and like it's the source of like all life. So it's actually really cool.
And it might be just one of those sort of like acclimation things. Like if you just gave it a shot, like if you just were like, okay, for 1 month I'm going to try this thing. And then you might find that, oh, it's actually not quite as strange and foreign as you might expect it to be. It could be like a matter like that. Like I want to actually get to what it is that you can do for women, because we've been talking about a lot of this, you know, in theory, but you've been explaining these things and somebody listening and be like, well, this is intriguing to me. Like, I don't really like having, you know, my current method has some drawbacks. I don't really like having to pay for having these side effects, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you have for women specifically? What is your method?
Our method. Well, the company that I started is like based around, it's called specifically the fertility awareness method. You mentioned earlier there's fertility awareness methods, but this is the fertility awareness method, also called the symptothermal method. And it's based on, like I said before, cervical fluid and temperature tracking. And the tools that we have are an iPhone application that's in the App Store called Kindara. And we've got a blog and a website. And in the blog, I go on rants sometimes about things. And then I also have like, but they're usually pretty useful, I think. And then I have just like regular, really useful articles on like, what is the fertility awareness method? Like, if you're trying to get pregnant, what are the four things you need to know? And like, what is cervical fluid? How do I check my cervical fluid? What is basal body temperature? How do I check my basal body temperature? And like all the things that you need to know to get like a basic understanding of what this method is, and to kind of see if it feels right for you. So yeah, and we're going to be incorporating a lot more of that educational stuff into what we offer as we go along. Right now we've been really focused on building the application, and that's a lot of work. I don't know how have so many iPhone apps are free or cost a dollar, because it's a lot of work to make them.
Yeah. So what all does your app do?
So our app helps women. It's basically the place to put all your information into. And so you put in your temperatures and your cervical fluid measurements and when you had sex and when you got your period and anything else that you wanted to add. And then what you get out of that information is a chart. And on that chart, you can see if you're fertile or if you're not based on your own data. And what a lot of other fertility awareness type of applications try to do is tell you when you're fertile, like running your data through an algorithm. Which I think is like totally bogus and like really takes away like the gold of the method. So our app doesn't do that. It just displays the information in a way where you can actually see with your own data if you're fertile or if you're not. And then you can choose to do with that information whatever you want. If you're trying to get pregnant, you know when to have sex. If you're trying to not get pregnant, you know when to not have sex. And there's also an Ask an Expert feature in the app that women can pay for, that can then, they can ask any questions they have and have us look at their charts and have like actually get a conversation going with someone who knows this method and can guide them along the path to really owning it and understanding it for themselves.
What kind of time investment is this going to take from somebody who wants to try this?
So you can start out really slowly and ramp up from whatever you feel comfortable with. I actually charted for a year just taking my temperature and checking in on my cervical fluid just to see what my body was doing. Yeah, so I was charting for a year just to see what my body was doing before I then used that information to decide whether or not to have sex. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for women just trying to get a better understanding of their bodies, you can chart just to understand if and when you ovulate. If you're going to use it to prevent pregnancy, if you're going to use the method to prevent pregnancy, it's a good idea to chart for at least 3 months and really understand your body's natural cycles and really make sure that you have an understanding of like what the rules are and how to use them and just how to use the method totally before starting to use that information to decide whether or not you're going to have unprotected sex that day. So it's kind of like there's kind of like a time investment that you got to put in. But it's so worth it, because in the end, like, you know your body better than any doctor's ever going to. You know exactly what's going on with your body every day. And there's no more panic of like, oh my God, like, where's my period? Like, what's going on? What is this stuff coming out of me? Like, why do I feel cranky today? Like, it for me, I feel like I completely own my human female body now. And I didn't feel like that before.
I like it. I like it that it's very much taking ownership over it, and like, really ultimately the best weapon in health in general, I think, is that level of awareness, just so that you know, like, is this lump new, like, etc.
Totally.
General idea. One of the things that you mentioned very early on was something about IUDs, and I've read that you had tried the Paragard IUD, which is the one that does not have hormones, and did not particularly enjoy that. So do you want to speak about how that, I mean, because that is, again, non-hormonal, but it is somewhat invasive. And so can you explain your concerns about that?
Sure. Yeah. So after I decided I wasn't going to do the pill anymore, I was like, well, what are my non-hormonal options? And the Paragard was one. And so I was like, sweet, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to get this thing and I won't have to worry about contraception for 10 years. Just going to like live in my uterus and like do whatever. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm not going to have any babies and that's going to be sweet. So then when I got it put in, I was like, oh my God, it was so painful. Getting it put in was super painful. And for the next 3 weeks after I got it put in, I had the worst pain I could imagine. Like, I was a nanny in Brooklyn at the time, and I would like go and get the little girl from school and be walking home to her house and just be like trying to maintain, you know, like, oh God, like, how am I gonna like like even formulate sentences. I'm in so much pain.
I mean, that's a big thing that like they recommend IUDs definitely for women who've already have kids, just because the cervix is easier to dilate. Yeah, the insertion process is no joke. And those first few weeks afterwards, I definitely tell anybody who's considering an IUD, even if the long-term solution is an IUD, those first few weeks are no joke. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the worst. And then after those 3 weeks were up, I was like, okay, like I can kind of handle it. I still felt kind of weird. And sometimes when I'd have sex, I would get this like horrible stabbing pain in my uterus that would like last for hours. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't think this is right. Oh God. But then when I would get my period, it lasted for 10 days instead of 2. And it was like super heavy and super painful and was coming way more frequently than usual. So I was like, man, I'm going to be like in mortal pain for 10 days out of a month just so my boyfriend doesn't have to wear a condom. I was like, fuck this. You know, yes. I was like, get this thing taken out of me. So I had it for like 3 months. And then I was like, no, I can't do it. Like it's just too painful. And like, you know, like, what is all this pain for? You know, just so I don't get pregnant? There's got to be better ways to not get pregnant.
And just to clarify for anybody who's not super familiar with IUDs, the intrauterine device, that's what it stands for, is inserted, like, you go through the vagina, then through the cervical opening. So it's actually inside the uterus. It's a little T-shaped object. And if it's a Mirena, it's a little plastic one that's coated in hormones. And if it's a Paragard, it's just metal and it doesn't have any hormones. And as you pointed out, there are differences between the two. The Paragard lasts for 10 years. It's actually, I believe now being approved for 12. The Mirena is for 5, possibly 7. But the Paragard does have a lot of reports of heavier flow and much bigger cramps, and all of the things that you just mentioned are pretty common. Yeah, they are not unusual. Mirena, on the other hand, it has the terrible beginning part, but for most users, periods end up stopping entirely and you don't have any more of that craziness after a few months. And then you have like 5 years of just basically being like your body thinks it's pregnant, but not really. But you're not actually feeling any pregnancy side effects. It just isn't releasing. It isn't releasing eggs and stuff. So just as clarification for people, the differences between the two different types. So if you've talked to somebody who had a different experience, it might be because they had a different kind. That sort of thing. But yeah, so any back to IUDs. Would you avoid IUD suggestions to people? Anybody who is considering, are you pretty opposed to them?
I wouldn't say I'm against any form of contraception. I think that for certain women, like every form is like for each, you know, like for different women, there's different things that are going to be awesome for each woman. Like I would never suggest against getting one. I would tell them my experience with it, and say they might want to look at some other options. Like if someone was asking me like, hey, I'm thinking about getting an IUD, what would you recommend? I'd be like, well, this was my experience. You may have a totally different experience. I try not to be against anything, but just to like put my personal experiences out there. So people can use my experiences to not have to go through what I went through.
I think there's a really big element of how many women choose their birth control methods is based on what they've heard from their friends and family. And I think that that's probably one of the primary sources of information for a lot of women, is just hearing each other's stories about like, well, this is what happened when I took the Depo shot and I gained 20 pounds and I cried all the time. But for other people, it was like, oh, it's great. I got the Depo shot. I go in like once every few months and then I don't have to worry about it. And it's just different bodies have different reactions to it. But, you know, if you only hear, you know, one version, you aren't necessarily going to get a clear picture because you don't know how you are going to react, because their body is a different body.
Totally. Yeah.
And when you're talking to clients, et cetera, like generally how well informed were they about this kind of stuff before they got the Kindara app or before they started reading your blog? Like where are people when they come to you?
It really is a spectrum. Like some women come and post questions on the blog like, when will I have another baby? And I'm like, well, I don't know when you're going to have another baby. Like, I need more information.
Are you a fortune teller? Like, let me look into my crystal ball.
Yeah. And I would say there's a lot that have a really low level of understanding around how their bodies work and how to get pregnant and that kind of thing. Most of our users are using Kindara to get pregnant. And then we have the other end of the spectrum where women have been charting for years. And those are usually the women who are using it to avoid pregnancy. Because if you're charting for years to get pregnant and you're still not pregnant, like, probably time to move on to more invasive type of things. But for the women who've been charting for years to avoid pregnancy, I get some really detailed questions. And that's really, really fun and really affirming because I really think that women want this kind of information. And so when I get questions from women who are like, yes, like, totally have been charting for years, love it. Like, could you add this feature? And I'm like, yes, totally, it's in the works. Like, makes me feel like what we're doing is going to have a big impact on the world.
And do you get any blowback? Does anybody come at you as saying that any of this is bad or wrong? I mean, is anybody in disagreement with anything you're doing?
Not really, which is like so great. You know what I mean? Because it's hard. I mean, as you probably know, to work in the realm of like women's health and sexuality, like I would think there'd be a lot of pushback. But so far, it's all been really positive for the most part. You know, there's a couple haters out there, but you know, haters gonna hate. So I don't really take it too like personally. For the most part, people are just really thrilled that there's a charting app out there that really like is as good as ours is, and that the blog has so much information on it, and that I present things in a way that women can really relate to and really resonate with.
Yeah, because I was racking my brain to try to figure like who would actually be like opposed to anything that you're doing. I mean, because one of the things you came out and said is just like, we're not in opposition to using any method. Like, this is just information about how your body works. And I just, you know, I expect if you put things on the internet, someone will yell at you eventually. So there's that. I don't know. Any chemical, lab is going to come at you and be like, you're going to make women stop using our product. I don't know. I don't know.
Not yet though. Like maybe in the future when we get much bigger, they will, like, cause right now we're so small. It's like, not really like big pharma is not looking at us and being like, oh my God, they're going to steal all our users. But you know, in the future, I really think that fertility charting is going to get huge and that women are going to want to use this. So probably when we get a little bigger, there'll be some pushback. But right now, everybody's pretty friendly.
So what are the long-term aims of you and your entire enterprise? Like, where do you see yourself in 5-10 years with this?
Well, hopefully lots and lots of women are going to be charting, whether it's with our app or other apps or whatever. Like, I don't really care. Like, what I care about is that women have this knowledge and this information and these tools, and they can have lives that are more awesome than the lives that they have now. I think in 5 years for like fertility awareness method and fertility charting to be really common. So like if I talk about it to someone I meet on the street and they ask like, what do you do? And I tell them, they're like, oh, cool. That's awesome. Like my sister uses that, or my friend uses that, or I use that. And not what now? What are you talking about? Like I want it to be like a household word, fertility charting or fertility awareness method. And I want all women to know that it's at least an option. And that's really where I see it going too, because the more people that I talk to about it, once they understand what this company's about, they're like, oh my God, that is so cool. Like, yes, I totally want to know more about my body. Like, where can I learn more? Sign me up.
And so what else do you think Kindara specifically will be doing? Will there be more apps? Will there be like trainings? Like what sort of other products would you be able to, I guess, sort of come up with so that people can better understand?
Yeah, well, there's there's so many, like we have like, I have like a whole list of like things that we want to add to this current app. One thing that we're going to be really focusing a lot on is the education aspect of it. So incorporating some of the educational aspects of how to chart into the app itself. So like as a woman is, she could like in like the perfect world, and this is where we're heading, she would download the app and the app would actually teach her as she goes through like what she needs to know at certain times. So it's like she wouldn't have to just have a big huge download of information like, oh my God, how do I understand all this? But as she's going along and charting, she'd be given the right information at the right times so she can fully understand the method and how it works and how to apply it to her life like every single day. So it's not such a huge like barrier to entry of knowledge. That's one thing. It's just making the app like almost foolproof. Like so you can download it and all the information you need would just be given to you as you need it.
Okay. I like it. So anything else anybody should know about Kindara and about like how to get it and like where they can find out more information about you and specifically your app?
Well, kindara.com, KINDARA, is where the blog and our website and everything can be gotten through kindara.com. And if you have an i device, an iPod or iPad or iPhone, you can download Kindara in the App Store. And
no love for the droids?
Not yet. We're working on it. Like we just like had this gigantic update that we're trying to get out the door right now. And once that's out the door, that'll allow us some freedom to start thinking about and working on the Droid app. But we really want to get the iPhone app like up and running and like, you know, as like the way we really want it. So like women are using it and like loving it and learning.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Katie. So again, reminder to everybody, the app is called Kindara, and you can find that for your iDevice, and there will be love for droids in the future. and of course, kindara.com, you said?
Yep, that's right.
And then so that's where your blog is?
Yes.
Okay. And anything else you want to make sure you want to send as, you know, like the advice of the day, the takeaway message, anything you want to share with people?
Just start noticing your cervical fluid. Just like make note if you notice it one day and like what it's doing. And then know that you can get a whole lot of information from that if you did that every day.
I like it. So your daily homework, everyone, is to go check out your fluids.
Yeah, like check it. Out the fluids.
I like it. All right. So thank you very much for joining us, Katie. I hope you
You're
fun.
So welcome. Thanks for having me. It was super fun.
Yeah. And thank you everybody for listening and have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.